You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Good to see you here. Welcome again to Bell Road Church. My name's Tyrone, and we are in part four of this series called I Want to Be Rich. And so we're coming to the end. I want to ask this question. How many of you guys like to receive gifts? Anybody like receiving gifts? Come on, anybody just being honest right here. I like to receive. I'm good at receiving gifts. I'm good at it. It's a gift of mine to receive gifts. Anybody? Not even for those that are embarrassed or shy, we still like it. Come on, let's be real. Right? Come on. Cheyenne, who's our awesome kids director here, she for months has been reminding us about her birthday. I think the day we hired her last August, she told me about her birthday, which is today. Today's her birthday. All right? So if you see her, just appreciate her, tell her happy birthday, maybe give her a gift, because that's what you've been saying. Hey, my birthday's coming. What are you going to get me? Yeah, maybe you want to start thinking about it now. This months ago, okay? Just reminding us that her birthday was coming up, and that's just her. She's funny. That's her personality. If you know her, she's just like that. But today's the day, so you can wish her a happy birthday. But we all like to receive gifts, right? Deep down inside, every single one of us, even if we ask or act bashful or shy. And the reason for that is because all of us, at least a little bit, have some selfishness in us, right? A little bit. It's like we like to be thought of. We like to be, to receive things. We like to get new stuff. We like to be the center of attention. And so we like to get stuff. It's just a little bit of selfishness that's in us. Maybe there's a lot of selfishness in us. I don't know. But I came across this article years ago it's interesting. It's called The Day America Told the Truth. A bunch of people were asked this question: what would you be willing to do for $10 million? So this could be a fun conversation you could have with your friends. What would you be willing to do for $10 million? 25% of all the people polled and asked this question said they would abandon their entire family. 23% said they'd become a prostitute for a week or more for $10 million. 16% said they would give up their American citizenship. 16% said they would leave their spouse. $10 million. 10% said they would withhold testimony to let a murderer go free. Okay? 7% said they would kill a stranger. All right? And then 3% said they would put their children up for adoption. For $10 million, what would you be willing to do? For $10 million. What's that article show us? Selfishness is alive and well in our country, my friends. Wouldn't you agree? Selfishness is real. It's here. But Jesus said something different. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, those words are recorded in Acts 20, which is interesting because they aren't recorded in any of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the first four books of the New Testament that are all about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Those words aren't recorded there, but they are recorded by the early church leaders in Acts. They're remembering what Jesus had said. He probably said it multiple times. And so we get those words in Acts 20, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And some of you might be thinking, I don't know, it feels kind of good to receive. I actually kind of like it. But what Jesus is saying is that you and I will experience far more blessing in our life as we give than by receiving. If you and I actually live this lifestyle of generosity, you're going to experience God's blessings in your life in greater ways than just by receiving. That's what he's talking about. And we're in this series called I Want to Be Rich. And what we learn in this series is that the kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdom of this world. And God's definition of you and I being rich is different from the definition of the world. In fact, next week we're starting a new series, and it's called The Upside Down Kingdom. Okay, so that starts next week, Father's Day. It's going to be a fun day. And if you're familiar with that graphic there, it's in honor of Stranger Things, Season 3, coming out in a few weeks. And so some of you are excited about that. But this kingdom we're a part of now, the kingdom of God, compared to the world, is an upside down kingdom. So we'll talk about that. It's going to be our fun summer series that we're kicking off next week. I hope you're here next Sunday. So what does it mean to be rich in God's kingdom? It means that I'm living for something bigger than myself. The kingdom of the world says to be rich is all about acquiring wealth and lots of money. But in the kingdom of God, he says it's all about giving. It's all about being generous. It's all about looking to see how you and I can make a difference in the world and serve people and love the people around us. That's what it means to be rich in God's kingdom. And so let's look at some words I've been reading every week in this series. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17, 18, and 19. We've read these every week. Let's look at these again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Somebody say amen to that, right? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So, as you and I submit to King Jesus and follow King Jesus, we're part of his kingdom, right? And to be rich in his kingdom is all about you and I doing good things. That's what that passage continues to remind us. Be rich in good deeds. Do good things for people. Be rich in generosity, in being a giver. And here's what I want to talk about this morning. Here's the main idea, and that is generosity changes the world. I believe that with all my heart. Generosity changes the world. Think about how much God has changed the world. You know how he's changed it? It's because of his generosity. Now, put aside the fact that he's actually created all this. He made us. You know, it's his breath in our lungs that we're able to live. All of that, okay? Out of his generosity, you and I are restored back into a right relationship with God. And John 3:16 reminds us of this. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So here's the deal. You and I, we live in a messed up, broken world. And that's pretty easy to see, right? It's pretty apparent. And the reason for that is because of sin. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled. But Jesus went to the cross so he could pay the penalty of death for our sins and restore a relationship back with God, our loving Creator. And so God has changed the world through his generosity. Because he loved us so much, he gave. And here's what I've learned is that I can give and not love, but it's impossible to love and not give. When I really love, I want to give. See, God loves us so much that he wanted to give. He did that for us. He took the initiative, and he gave so that you and I could be set free. You thankful for that? So you and I could be in relationship with him and experience him and his presence in our life, but it all came out of his generosity, because generosity changes the world. And literally, that one act of generosity of Jesus giving himself on the cross changed the world. Wouldn't you agree? And so when you and I give, and when we're generous, it feels good because we are acting like God. We actually are living out his very nature. He is, yes, a loving God, but he's also a very generous God. And so when we live a generous life, we are living out the very nature and the character of God. And that feels good. And so that's the goal for us. That's the call. And that's my prayer for all of us today, is that we would live in this place of generosity. And that we would literally be world changers. Because I believe that generosity changes the world. So let's look at Proverbs 11. Love these verses in Proverbs 11. It says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Well, that's good. Anybody need refreshing here this morning? I want to start refreshing people in your life. Be a refresher. Be an encourager. And God's going to refresh you in that. As you are generous in doing that, God's going to refresh you. But what I love about these verses is it shows us the paradox of the kingdom of God. God says, if you want to be rich, you have to give. What's the world say? If you want to be rich, accumulate as much as you possibly can and just keep it all. Hoard it. Keep it for yourself. That's what being rich is. But God says, no, no, no. It's different. My way in my kingdom is different. Being rich is all about living a generous life and giving it away. And here's the cool thing, as we live that out, as we're generous and we give, God gives us more. And we can just give more, and God gives us more, and we can give more. And literally, we can actually change the world by how we give, because we can change other people's lives and change their world by just being generous people. You with me? Generosity changes the world. I love how the message says that verse we just looked at. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Well, that's good right there. It's no fun to hang out with the stingy person, is it? And their world is small. They can be discouraging. And the reason is because they're living mostly a self-centered life. That's why the world is small, because it centers around themselves. They like to talk about themselves. It's all about themselves. They like to please themselves, even in conversations with some of these people. If they're extreme, it always goes back to them. And sometimes they can't even track your conversation because they're just wanting to tell you what's on their mind and on their heart. You ever had those conversations before? These people are small in their thinking. They bring people down. But the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Well, that's what I want to encourage you to be. Come on, live in that place of generosity. Generosity, it changes how you live. It changes what you see in life. It changes your perspective. It changes the words that we say. It changes the way that we think. A generous person actually thinks, I just want to make a difference in people's lives. I'm living for God. I'm living for other people. I'm living for something bigger. And what's amazing is as we serve people and we change the world around us, our world gets bigger and bigger because the world of the generous gets larger and larger. I love that. And Proverbs 22 says this, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. I love that imagery there, generous eye, because this is about how you and I see. Generosity, it's a way of seeing, and it encompasses our entire life. Generosity isn't like a one-time deal. It's not like, hey, well, I gave to a homeless person once. That counts, right? Or I said some nice words to my family last week or a couple weeks ago. Or I gave at church on Easter. Or I served a few months ago. That's good enough, right? I served January, family month. See, generosity is demonstrated in an act, but it's proven in a lifestyle. And that's the goal, is that you and I would live this lifestyle of generosity. I don't want to just give, you know, random acts every once in a while when I come around to it, but I want this to be my life. This is proven in a lifestyle. This is why we talk about the four T's here. I want to be generous with the four T's, with my time, with my treasures, with my talents, and with my tongue. Are you generous with the words that come out of your mouth? I want to be generous with all of those parts of your life, because it's a whole life thing, right? Jesus called us to go all in, right? If anyone would come after me, he said, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So what are these things? Really, these things are the things that we worry about, the things that cause you stress, you know, the things that maybe cause anxiety for some of you. That's what he's referencing, because he just got done talking about, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Seek first his kingdom. And so Jesus is saying to us, look to me first. Everybody say first. Okay, God's a God of firsts. That's what I've learned. And so Jesus says, put me first. Seek me first. Live for me first, and I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll bless you. You're going to be okay. All these things will be given to you as well. But you got to seek me first. We got to put him first in all areas of our life. In my time, in my treasures, in my talents, in my tongue, all those areas. I want to put God first. So I think a good question to ask yourself is, am I putting God first in all of these areas right now? I'm putting him first. That's what he's called us to do. That's how he's called us to live. And here's what I've learned is that when we do that, it's not for him, it's for us. It's not because he just needs all the glory. It's not because he's some egotistical maniac. It's because it changes us. Our world begins to change. You know, the world changes, and God starts by changing our world through our generosity. And so we need that. We need a different perspective as we live this generous life. And so that's where it begins. It begins with us in our heart. And God recognizes that. So that's why he's calling us to live a generous life and to go all in for him, because he knows it's best for us. It's how you and I can live the life that he wants us to live and he's called us to live. So my prayer for you, my encouragement to you, is be generous with your whole life. 2 Corinthians 8 says, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. So it's a whole life thing, but in light of this series, we're talking about our treasures, right? Our finances. We want to excel in giving, in really putting God first in this part of our life. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first and best part of all of your income. I love that translation. With the first and best part of all of your income. Maybe your translation says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Well, the first fruits of all your crops really means with the first and best of all of your income. That's really what it's talking about. And it's you and I giving God our first. This is referring to really the 10%. It's you and I coming to the point where we recognize, God, I can trust you with 90% more than I can trust myself with 100%. Because I really believe, God, you're going to do more with my 90 than I'm going to do with my 100. So here you go. I recognize it's all yours. And so I'm going to give you my first and my best. It's the tithe, that first 10% that I give to God. And what I've learned is that it's not really a financial decision. When I make a decision to give 10%, it really is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one that comes out of my heart of love and out of a heart of generosity. So that's really the point. The point isn't how much I give. The point is, am I being generous? Am I giving generously of myself and even of my finances? And we've broken it down to four different levels to kind of help give us some imagery, and it makes it a little practical. There's four levels of giving. You got, before the first level, you got the pre-giving level. This is, you know, I haven't given to God yet, but that first gift to God is level one. That is the basic level. This is where I start, and I give that first gift, okay? It's a good place to start, but it's not a good place to stay, because you want to get to the next level, which is regular level. I'm given on a regular basis, speaking of frequency. Maybe it's once a month. I'm given regularly. But then the next level is a place I want to encourage all of us to get to if you're not there yet. And this we call the obedience level, because this is us getting to the place where I really fully trust God with that 10%, with my first fruits, as Proverbs 3 talks about, with the tithe. And this is obedience, because we look at, when you look at Scripture holistically, you see that principle all throughout Scripture. Even before the old covenant was established, they were giving a tithe to God. And then in the New Testament, all the examples actually, they're given way beyond 10%, okay? So this really seems to be like this base principle in Scripture of like, it's a starting point. And so I'm getting to the place where I'm going to obey you, God. I'm going to give this to you. And it's a trust issue for a lot of us. But remember, that decision, it's really more of a spiritual one than a financial one. So we've been talking in this series about this 90-day tithe challenge, and a bunch of people have jumped into the 90-day tithe challenge, and so maybe you're ready to do that. Maybe you'd like to join them. Grab that Connect card, mark the little circle on your Connect card, and make sure we got your email so I can include you in on the communication and encourage you throughout this 90 days that you're doing this. And I'd encourage you to just accept that challenge. Bible says, test me in this. God says that. Test me in this. Maybe you want to test God and see what he does in your life. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in all of you who are accepting this challenge. I believe God's going to move in your heart. He's going to move in your life. So that's the 90-day tithe challenge. Maybe you want to do that. But really the goal, guys, is this, that we get to level four, to that generosity level. I want to give generously, liberally. I want to be a giver with my life. This is going beyond the 10% to 11 to 12 to 15. Remember, generosity, it's shown in an act, but it's proven in a lifestyle, right? It's expressed in an act, but it's proven in a lifestyle. So here's the goal, is that you and I would grow in generosity. Man, I want you to discover the joy of being generous. I'd love for you to experience the power and the freedom that comes from living a generous life and see what God does in your life. I mean, there's so many things that we get from being generous. So many things. I'll just highlight a few, but there's so many. You and I are free from the enslavement of ourselves and our possessions. When I live a generous life, I'm set free from those things, from my selfishness, and my possessions. I also get to experience the joy of helping others, which is pretty awesome. I also get to experience God's approval for my life. This is something God approves of. He's calling us to live a generous life. And there's so much more that we could add to that list, but that's just a beginning. There's so much we get out of being generous. God wants to bless you. God wants to move in your life. So I'd encourage you, be generous, because generosity changes the world. But selfishness can creep in. As we talked about earlier, it's there. It's alive and well in our country, right? In fact, I think selfishness hinders us in a lot of areas of our life. You've seen that to be true? And I really think there's something that creeps in to the church way too often. In fact, I believe, this is my opinion, but I believe that the number one threat to the church in our country is consumerism. We live in a very consumeristic culture, guys. Let's be real. Our country is very consumeristic. Anybody agree? Yeah, you see that? You feel that? Where all the commercials are geared to us to consume. And so, yes, this is my fear, is that this has creeped into the church. Too many Christians come to church week after week after week, but they leave and nothing's applied to their life. They're not experiencing the power and the presence of God in their life on a regular basis. They just consume a message and they go out and live life as they please. But God hasn't called us to consume. He's called us to experience Him. He's called us to go all in for Him, not just to show up, take in a message, and go and give and consume something else and be entertained somewhere else. He's not called us to be consumer Christians. He's not even called us to be converts. He's called us to be disciples, followers of Him. I don't want to just stop with, yes, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins, and I accept your forgiveness. No, I want to go all in for Him. He's called me to go all in and follow Him as a lifelong learner and follower of Him, which is a disciple. That's the calling. So how do I break this selfishness in my life? How do I break consumerism? Because I pray that we don't create a consumeristic culture even within our church. It comes through generosity. Generosity, I think, is the greatest antidote. The greatest antidote to my selfishness and to consumerism. Generosity has the power to break that over my life. It's going to set me free. Generosity kills consumerism. And that's the goal, is that you and I live in this place of generosity, because generosity changes the world. Do you believe that by now? Are you with me? So here's my question I want you to ask yourself. Ask yourself this. What's one way that I can be generous this week? What can I do this week to be generous? I'll give you some practical ideas and some thoughts I'll throw it out there just to kind of help you with that. But are you honoring God with your wealth? Given to Him? Are you trusting Him in that area of your life? Maybe you want to step in and do the 90-day tithe challenge. It's time for you to accept that challenge and just go all in that regards. Make sure you mark that on the Connect card so we can just communicate with you and encourage you. I'd love to do that. But maybe you've never begun serving here and you'd love to find a place to serve. Use your talents. Put that on the Connect card. We'd love to help you get plugged in and find a place that you'll just have fun serving and using the gifts that God has given you. Or maybe God's going to open the door for you to share the love of Jesus with somebody this week. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think so. Think about generosity. Like, if we're going to be generous this week, I think the greatest act of generosity would be in you and I sharing the love of Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? Like, sharing the life-changing message of the gospel. Talk about changing the world. You can change someone's world if they hear the gospel and they receive it and they accept it for the first time. Their life has changed forever. Maybe even their family's world has changed because of it. I want to encourage us to step out in that generosity as well. Now, Tony, who's one of our leaders here, him and my wife, Pastor Amy, they're over there leading Discover BRC right now. And Tony was telling us in a leadership meeting this last week about a conversation he had with a bunch of friends of his. He was up in Washington State last weekend in a wedding. They were having a lot of fun. Just a bunch of cool dudes. He says these are all cool and really godly guys. And one night, he said the conversation went to this direction of, when was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? And of these 9 guys, only 2 of them said within the last year they had shared the gospel with somebody. And they felt really convicted by this as they're just kind of encouraging and exhorting each other, like, this should not be, guys. Like, we need to be living this mission that Jesus has given us. We have the greatest message the world needs to hear. We have it. And we're ashamed, we're embarrassed. This is why I would encourage you, continue to grow in your love and your passion for Jesus, because out of love, we want to give. And it comes out of love. And so they're having this conversation, and two of the guys said that they had done it. And one of those guys actually didn't grow up in the church. He was more recently saved, which tends to be the case. You ever notice that? Those of us that have grown up in the church, come on, let's be real. We tend to not share our faith. And that should not be. That's why we love new believers around here. I love when people get saved, because like, your guys are contagious. Like, we need new believers in this church, right? They're like passionate about Jesus. You got all these friends that you want to share what Jesus has done in your life. Come on, we need more salvations in this church. Don't you agree? And so I'm encouraging us to be bold and to be generous with our words in sharing the love of Jesus. And I want to give you a practical way to do so this week. You ready for this? Everybody grab those 5 cards that are underneath your chair right now. You should all have 5 cards under your chair. And we're going to look at these. Looks like this. It's got our church logo, church info on one side. It's got this website, truelife.org, on the other side. And we'll talk about this for a few moments, but I want to challenge you this week to take these 5 cards and use it to invite 5 people to come to church next week. Next week's Father's Day. It's going to be a lot of fun, lots of fun, cool new stuff going on. We're going to have a great time. This is a great week to invite someone to come to church. And so here's my challenge to you, for all of us, is that we would, at the very least, invite 5 people to come to church next week. For some of you, this is freaking you out. I get that. For others of you, maybe it's not. Like, if you got the gift of evangelism especially, you're like, hey, come on, bring it on. I got this, you know? The rest of us were like, oh, dear Lord. And so this is just a very easy, practical tool, and we want to train you on how to use this. And so I want you to watch this video, and it'll explain a little bit more about this card and this ministry called True Life that we're partnering with.
Hi there, I'm Jesse, the founder of TrueLife.org, and we're here at Thomas Road Baptist Church to help show you how easy it is to evangelize and invite people with these TrueLife.org invitation cards.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? Good to see you guys. Happy to be here. Thank you for coming. So we're encouraging evangelism and invitation in churches, not just Thomas Road Baptist Church, but your church as well. I'm sure your pastor probably gave you a TrueLife.org card today to hand out. And these cards are so unique because it takes the fear away from evangelism and invitation. That means that we don't have to be afraid of the questions that might be asked, or the time it's going to take, or not having a starting point. What if the recipient is afraid of going to church? Well, they can easily go online and get free video answers to questions like, how do we get the Bible? Why do bad things happen? Where do you go when you die? Does God love gay people? Is Mormonism true? Are Jehovah's Witnesses right? And the list goes on and on for any worldview. And then, of course, they can easily find your church on the Church Finder. Hey, Will, so we're pulling up to a gas station right now, and all I need you to do is just go out and simply say, hey, I'd love to have you come to my church on Sunday. If you have any questions, you can go online and get video answers, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. God bless you. I'm praying for you, okay?
Let's see what happens. Hi, excuse me. How are you ladies doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I don't know if you go to a church anywhere in the area, but I'd like to invite you to Thomas Road Church, see here. And if you don't have any time to make it to church right yet, you can see on the back, truelife.org, where you get free video answers to life's hard questions. And there's all kinds of different videos on there to answer questions people have, like, is there a God? And why do we suffer? And things like that. So take a look at it. Remember, the Lord loves you.
Well, do you feel better right now? I mean, do you feel relieved that, you know, at first you feel like a little bit...
A little nervous at first, yeah. But now I know I've given opportunity to people to find answers in God's Word, and that's exciting, you know?
That's awesome. Well, you did a great job.
And they seem to be very open to it.
Sure. Would you suggest the same for people watching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go out and do it. It's easy.
Katrina, it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
We're gonna have some fun.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm a bit nervous, though.
You are? Yeah, I'm a little nervous for you, too. I know you're going to do well, though.
Because I've never done this before. I always wanted to, but I'm nervous, but I'm going to do it.
I'm praying for you, sister. I know you're going to do fun. Here we are. This is good. Hey, you want to talk? You can talk to her.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, this is, I would love to come, you to come to my church next week.
I don't go to church. I don't care. You don't go to church. You know, you can go online too if you want to. Okay. God bless you. So what you do is you keep going. Okay?
Yeah.
And someone else will take the card.
Yeah.
Since she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to church?
Sometimes.
Oh, great. That's good. So I would love to see you. I mean, come over to my church next week. And if you're not ready, you can always go onto this website, like truelife.org. And there are some free video answers.
Okay.
There are a lot of questions we have sometimes. And there are a lot of videos explaining those questions. And you can always go and check those videos and have the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank it was nice meeting you. Have a great day. God bless.
You too.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
Man, we had a great time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina surprised me. I mean, I knew she was going to do good, but she did really, really good.
Thank you.
You did.
Well, you know what happened? Initially, there was one lady who didn't want to take the card.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to come to church. And I was really, you know.
didn't know what to say.
I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And he was with me. And we went on ahead. And we gave the cards to a lot of people. And surprisingly, It wasn't really hard, and
no.
They were really receptive, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yes, well, I'm so thankful that you just did my job. I don't have to explain nearly as much anymore to you back in the sanctuaries. We're not a different person than you. We are made in God's image just like you are, and every Christian has the opportunity to do this. And I can promise you from the bottom of my heart that there is nothing better than to share your faith with people. So I'm challenging you today. Share your faith, hand out these cards, and see what God can do in your life and in the lives of others.
So you can kind of see some of the awkwardness as they're doing that. Did you feel the awkwardness in that? Maybe some of you identify with that. So this is just a simple little tool that I want to encourage us to use this week. You can do it with a complete stranger if you'd like, or you can do it with some coworkers, some people you know, maybe some people you already have a relationship with, but you've never invited to church and always have wanted to. It's something simple. You can just walk up and say, hey, I'd love for you to come to our church this Sunday. If you're not ready, you're not able, go to that website, and there's a bunch of videos that answer life's toughest questions right there. It's a great website, guys. Great videos on there. Tons of them. And if they're there and, you know, God's tugging on their heart, they can find our church from this website right here. And so this is a cool little tool that I want to encourage you to use. For some of us, this is a big step in pushing through that barrier, that fear barrier of evangelism. But honestly, guys, I can't think of a more generous thing to do. Can you? And if you and I were so generous that we gave someone the opportunity to find life in Jesus through a simple invitation. And I'm praying that God's going to use you this week. So I want you to stand to your feet right now. And I'm going to ask you, who of you are willing to say, I'm going to accept this challenge, Tyrone. I'm going to invite 5 people to church. Anybody that's like willing to say it boldly, I'm going to do it. So raise your hands right now, loud and proud. High and proud, I guess would be the right way. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to ask you next week. Next Sunday when you show up, I'm going to say, who invited people to church? Just as a little follow-up to have some fun with that, some accountability. I'll ask you next week and we can... I'd love to hear stories about how it went. Now, I told the first service this because it popped in my brain. If for some reason you don't do it this week, don't skip out on church next week like I didn't show up. So Pastor Tyrone's going to ask me, did I invite anybody? I don't want to stand there and look around like, no, I'm the only one that didn't. Okay. Come next week. It's okay. We love you. There's grace for that. But I want to encourage you. You can do it. You can do it. We can all do this, right? Let's do this together. It's a fun, simple evangelism tool. And again, an opportunity to be generous in sharing the gospel. Man. No better way to be generous, wouldn't you agree? This is huge, guys. Generosity changes the world. And so I'm praying, God, help us to be bold and to be generous in handing these to at least 5 people this week. And so I'm gonna pray for you right now, okay? So some of you maybe already have some people you're thinking about. Let's pray for those, once you pray for those people as we pray, but I'm gonna pray that God will give you the strength, the courage, and the boldness to do this week. Lord, we come to you, recognizing Jesus, again, that you're great, and your message of the gospel is the greatest news that the world has ever seen, has ever heard. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be people who share, who generously give that out, Lord, who are not ashamed. Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with such love and passion for you, Lord, that we just want to share. We want to be bold. We want to be courageous in our faith. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd empower my friends. Give them Holy Spirit boldness, I pray, to step out in faith and to pass out a card. Lord, for those that this is really scary, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just encourage them in this and know, let them know you're going to be with them. It's going to be okay. Lord, they just got to step out in faith and do their part and trust that you're going to do your part. And so, God, I pray by your Spirit, boldness and courage, let it be stirred up in our lives this week as we pass these out to five people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.